So great to see all of you again, and now I'm almost to three months in the parish, something like that. So I'm continuing to learn to get to know people. I recognize more and more faces out there. Today we had a training for Extraordinary Ministers of Holy Communion, which I was able to be a part of, and so I got to see a bunch of people there, and some of the people told me after that, they said, "Father, you actually have a sense of humor." Which I do, and I like to laugh, but I take my faith very seriously. So when I'm up here, I'm not going to be telling jokes normally. Sometimes I might slip something in there, but usually I'm not going to be up here to try to entertain you, but rather to lead you to grow in your love and knowledge of Christ. And one day, you might end up in the love and fellowship of the Most Holy Trinity. And then we had a luncheon from St. Vincent de Paul's at noon today, and it was wonderful to be with all those people that work so hard to serve our community. So it's absolutely awesome. So again, thank you for the warm welcome. I'm very, very pleased to be here. This afternoon, of course, we are celebrating the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, the great mystery of God, the one God in three persons. There's a beautiful section on the Trinity in the Catechism, which gives you a kind of summary of the Church's teaching on this mystery. Here's what paragraph 234 says about the mystery of the Trinity. The mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in Himself. It is, therefore, the source of all the other mysteries of faith, the light that enlightens them. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truths of faith, unquote. So that is really a strong statement. If you ask most Catholics what is the central mystery of the Catholic faith, they might say the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith. Or they might say the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Or maybe they might say our Lord's atonement for us on the cross. But that's not what the Church teaches. She teaches that the Trinity is the central mystery. Just look for a moment at our devotional life as Catholics. The beginning of our life as a Christian is when we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Every time we enter a church, we dip our fingers into the holy water and we make the sign, and we call it the sign of the cross, but it is also the sign of the Trinity. It is, in fact, a very basic creed. It's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So even in those two moments, baptism and the sign of the cross, these two most fundamental elements of Christian devotion tell us that Christianity isn't just about the cross. It's about the Trinity, because the Trinity is the mystery of who God is in Himself. The cross is the mystery of what He's done for us, but the Trinity is the mystery of who He is. So let's look at our readings and see what there is there concerning the Trinity. Our first reading was from Exodus chapter 34. This is the famous story of the Lord appearing to Moses on Mount Sinai after the destruction of the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. So if you recall, Moses breaks the tablets when he finds the Israelites committing idolatry, and then he has to go back up the mountain to get a new set. In the first reading we heard, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name Lord, the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" Now in the scriptures, when you look at the Bible, whenever you see the English word Lord in all caps, it is the sacred divine name Yahweh, or YHWH, which is called the Tetragrammaton. Those four holy letters that the Jewish people did not actually pronounce. We're not even quite sure how they pronounced them, but it's the name of the Lord, the personal name of the God of Israel. One of the things that the ancient church fathers knew is that although the Most Holy Trinity was not fully revealed until Pentecost, God allowed signs and shadows and hints of the mystery of the Trinity to be slowly revealed over the course of time throughout the Old Testament. The early church fathers saw instances like this, the Lord descending in a cloud as a prefiguring or foreshadowing of the incarnation. It says, "Then the cloud, the Lord descended in the cloud." Now, if you look at the scriptures from the beginning to the very end, from the Old Testament to the New, whenever it speaks of God coming in a cloud, this is always an image of the Spirit of God. The cloud symbolizes the Spirit, and the Lord is an image of the second person of the Trinity, or the Word, who became incarnate. And what can we say about the second reading today? Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Saint Paul, the convert from Judaism, is a monotheist. He believes that there is one God. As a Jew, he would have said several times a day, and he certainly was a faithful Jew, he would have said several times a day, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Deuteronomy chapter 6. So he begins in this text by talking about God in the singular. He says, "The God of love and peace will be with you." Then, however, in the next verse, in verse 14, he writes, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." This is the most explicitly Trinitarian of all of St. Paul's writings. St. Paul, the monotheist, makes a clear statement in a Trinitarian blessing that the church took and put right into the very beginning of every Mass. And in our Gospel, we have the very well-known verse, John 3, verse 16, which we see in many places in our world. It's a wonderful verse. It says there that God gave his only Son, or in Greek, it says literally, his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Jesus is the uncreated Son of God. Jesus has no beginning as the eternal Son. He is uncreated and he is eternally begotten of the Father. He always was the Son of the Father. He is the Son. He will always be the divine Son of God. So, we might ask, who then is the Lord? The Father is the Lord, the Son is the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is the Lord. And that really is the essence of the mystery of the Trinity. That's why we profess the Creed every Sunday. We are reaffirming the central mystery of the Christian faith. And I might pause here and just say, if your head is kind of spinning a little bit when you think about the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, you should know that our church took about 4 centuries to hammer out the doctrine of the Most Holy Trinity. It didn't happen overnight. And the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible, right? But it is the central mystery of our faith. So I think it would be good here to kind of close with another very excellent quote from our catechism. Says in paragraph 260 of the Catechism, "The ultimate end of the whole divine economy is the entry of God's creatures into the perfect unity of the Blessed Trinity." So what does that mean? It means that our ultimate destiny is entry into the life of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, into the unity of the Trinity. So the Trinity is not like a math problem or some kind of complicated thing that theologians just play around with, although they do that. The Trinity is our destiny, or at least it should certainly be our destiny. The Trinity is the reason the world was made. The ultimate reason for the whole plan of salvation was so God's creatures, you and me, might enter into the unity and the life of the most holy Trinity, of the blessed Trinity, and dwell there eternally. To use that old and worn-out expression, at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, Christianity isn't about an idea. It's about a God who is personal. In fact, a God who is tri-personal, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May all of us remember that as we celebrate this feast of the Holy Trinity. Every time we make the sign of the cross, we're also making the sign of the Trinity, telling us who God is in himself, not just what he has done. All the other mysteries of our faith, the resurrection, the Eucharist, the crucifixion, those all tell us what God has done, but the Trinity tells us who he is in himself from all time before our world was created. And ultimately, that's the mystery that God wants to draw us into, which is the mystery of divine love, of a God who is one, a God who is love, because he is three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We must realize that our ultimate life in Christ is within the love of the Most Holy Trinity. As baptized Christians, God desires that we live forever in communion with the eternal light of the Holy Trinity. May we live, breathe, and hope in the sure love of the Most Holy Trinity.